glad to see all you guys this evening. We're going to continue tonight our discussion on spirituality. We've had a few lessons already on this, and this is kind of a series. Tonight, the lesson topic will be choosing to be a person of the book. And I had made an outline of that as an assignment, but I realized that outline wasn't very good, so I found an old sermon that was a lot better, so that's kind of where I'm at tonight. So, I prepared something a little bit special to illustrate my point. How many of you guys know what these are? Not everybody knows. Okay. If you have teeth, show them to me. Some people are being tight-lipped. Carol, quit being tight-lipped. Show me your teeth. There they are. Okay. When I was in the fifth grade, I was sitting in Mrs. Froese's class. And I thought that I only got harassed about brushing my teeth at home. And Miss Froese said into talking to us about brushing our teeth. She said, first of all, how many of y'all brush your teeth every day? Raise my hand. Many of y'all brush your teeth at least every other day? I didn't raise my hand. I brush my teeth back then once a week, whether I needed to or not. Well, she went on talking about this, that we need to brush our teeth, and she says, your teeth are important to you. Keeping your teeth so that you can chew something. My granddad had no teeth, and he just gummed it to death. His friends at work called him catfish. You go figure, okay? She said brushing your teeth and keeping them clean and, keeping them up to shape is really important. And I'm sitting there, fifth grade. Okay, next subject, please. She didn't stop, though. She went and handed out toothbrushes to all of us and asked us to open. How many of you have done this? Did anybody have this happen to you at school? See, we are weird where we come from. So she hands out these toothbrushes. She said, everybody open your toothbrushes. And she come around, she took some, maybe it wasn't tartar protection, but she took some of the stuff, put on our toothbrushes, and she said, here's what I want you to do. She said, I want you to brush your teeth like you've never brushed them before. I want you to clean them up one side and down the... And I was a little kid. I felt good about myself. And, after about 5 seconds, I was done. And she was looking at me like... She didn't need to say anything, so I kept going. Y'all did this today, didn't you? I'm just going to town on my teeth, right? By the way, this is one of our family's toothbrush. I don't know whose it is. It was in my drawer, so... I was afraid I'd lose mine, so... Hope the dog didn't have that. So we got done. I was thinking, there, I brushed my teeth. And she come around, she give us a glass of water. And a cup, I think it was two tablets.
And she says,
put these tablets in the water. So I put the tablets in the water. The water turned red. She said, now put that in your mouth and swish it around. I don't remember, she brought by a bucket. That was a long time ago. Spit it out. Then she brought by a mirror and she said, look in the mirror with your teeth. Man, there was red all over my teeth. And you know what that meant? I didn't do a good job brushing my teeth. She said, everywhere you see red, that means you're not brushing very good. Man, my whole teeth was red. I thought to myself, man, she's up here talking about preventing tooth decay, okay? And I hope you appreciate this. Church, we got to brush our lives with the Word of God to prevent truth decay. How do you like that? we're not brushing our lives with the Word of God, we're going to end up with truth decay. And you know what? There's a lot of truth decay in our world today. It's everywhere. Y'all go home and brush your teeth too. 2 Timothy, if you would, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. When we think about spirituality, folks, we got to understand that we got to be people of God's Word. You cannot grow in your spiritual life at all without being involved in God's Word. Now, if I don't get anything across to you tonight, if you got that point, you got it pretty much. I'm going to read to you 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. The text says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Now that's just good stuff as far as thinking about what the Bible is for us. First of all, in thinking about our spiritual lives, and the fact that if we're going to grow, that we've got to be immersed in God's Word, I just want to point out, number one, that God speaks to us through His Word. You know, I've known people in my life that thought that God actually physically spoke to them and they could hear His voice. That's pretty interesting, and I'm not going to be talking about that. But God tells us that He speaks to us through His Word. Now, who would miss out on an opportunity to listen to God? Well, you know what? We make choices in regard to that all the time, don't we? We go home and we get involved in the things that are going on in our life. And you know, it kind of is up to us to make time for God. What if you walked by a payphone in the mall or something like that, and you heard it ring and you went over and let's say it had caller ID, and you looked at the caller ID and it said, "God calling." Would you answer it? Well, I think all of us would answer it. But what if people don't answer when God's called? What if people fail to pick up the phone, so to speak, and listen to God? They end up trying to do it on their own. And you know what? Jeremiah 10:23 says that we cannot direct our own steps. But you know, it's interesting how many people in the world try to direct their own steps. And church, we are not void of that. Sometimes we try to direct our own steps as well. This says, in this text, that all Scripture is inspired. All Scripture is the voice of God. When we're reading anywhere in God's Word, it's Him talking to us. You know, when I think about the fact that God would talk to us, you know, it just means to me that He loves us greatly. Can you imagine loving your kids but refusing to give them any instructions? Not giving them any guide? Well, God's not that way. God gives us direction. He just asks us to pay attention, to listen. As he told many people throughout the Bible, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," on the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen to Him. God wants us to hear Him. Because after all, it's through God's Word that our faith grows. Nancy Little sent me a little cartoon quip today, and it said that had a picture of Peter walking on the water, but he was walking on the ice, and you could see snow on the banks, and it said that Peter's faith grew during the winter. Church, faith cometh from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. That is where faith comes. You know, the secular world or other religions, surely, I see them on TV once in a while, they always getting up and telling you a whole bunch of cute stories, and that's it. Telling you, you know, we want you to love God, look what He did in my life. And hey, it's really great to see what God does in people's lives, but there's no power in that. The power is in His Word, Romans chapter 1, right? And faith comes from God's Word. So, you know, here we are, we're trying to be Christians. We're trying to grow in our spirituality, and you know what? That can only come from a regiment of God's Word. You know, we have members of the church who are really committed to good dieting. Bless your hearts, I'm trying to learn that one myself, right? But when you're thinking about a good diet, what do? You cut out the donuts, you cut out all this stuff, and you get on a regimen of healthy food, right? It's the same thing spiritually speaking. We got to be on a regimen of God's Word. It needs to be a daily part of our lives. I'd written down here a number of years ago, and I still agree with it, some Christians. Now, I don't think this in general applies to us as much, because in this church a lot of people are reading their daily Bibles and a lot of people are studying, but some Christians across the country, they're not in God's Word. You mention God's Word and it's the search for the Holy Grail. Where did I put the thing? Let me get the broom out and dust the cobwebs off of it. And God doesn't want us living like that. God wants us to be familiar with His Word, and familiarity comes from only one place, and that's being involved with God's Word. Our text tells us here in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 that God's Word is profitable. Now, I gave that some thought. We live in the world today of who wants to be a millionaire. What's that other How We Do It guy? What, Deal or No Deal? Everybody concerned about being rich, and as I was thinking about this, I just about got caught up in that. But this says that God's Word is profitable. What is a profit? A profit comes from an investment that you make. When a businessman goes out and makes an investment, he puts something up of value, and he gets that back, and when he gets back more than he put in, that's called a profit. Here, the text says that God's Word is profitable. In other words, you put yourself out there, you give, and God will give back more, right? Amen. But God wants us to be giving concerning His Word. And that means sometimes time, one of our most valuable commodities, right? God wants us to make time for Him. He says that there are four things that make God's Word profitable. First of all, that it's useful for teaching. Who said that this morning? Dave Schmidt, maybe, I think, in class. If I had to stand up here and just give you my idea of spirituality on my own without this book, I'd be lost as a box of rocks. If I had to try to display some philosophical intelligence to you, I'd be lost, because you know what? I am not philosophical and I'm not basically intelligent. I don't have it in me to do what I do each week. But God gives it to me. And I know that if I stick close to what He's saying, that I'll be doing okay, because God doesn't make mistakes. When I'm sharing God's Word with you, it's because I'm studying through there and I'm trying to just say what He says. Nothing more, nothing less. That's a recipe for success. good thing that in teaching, we don't have to rely on our own thoughts. We don't have to say, well, you know what, I think this, or I think that. You know what, in preaching school, they taught us this. Don't say, I think. Because you know what, everybody really doesn't need to know what you think. Give it a thus saith the Lord. And I agree with that. So I catch myself every now and again in that regard. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 says, when you're speaking, speak as if you're speaking to oracles of God. We have used the expression, speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible's silent in regard to that scripture. I want to suggest that today, if you'll open your books up and study and let God do the talking in your life, you will grow and you will bring more people to the Lord. God's Word is also profitable in this text for reproof. Reproof is basically when you go to someone and talk to them about something that they're not getting quite right. We like to quote the passage that says, hey, if you got a speck of sawdust in your eye, you get it out and you take care of yourself first. We understand that passage, don't we? But it does not nullify Matthew chapter 18 that says, if you see a brother in error, you go and talk to him. So God's Word is profitable in that regard. But now here's what, I have been guilty of this in the past, and I'm just going to share it with you, okay? This is Dummy Dan 101. I see a brother or sister involved in sin, and I go talk to them, and I try to encourage them out of sin, and I just do it as a matter of logic, as an argument, hey, you're a Christian, you ought to be doing this. It's a whole different thing when you go to a brother and sister in Christ and say, let me read to you something. Because if I come to you and I talk to you about that and I just read you God's Word, it's not me doing that, is it? It's God. See, you can hear Dan and you can say, you know what, Dan? I don't think you've got the experience to be talking to me about this subject. Or you know what? You seem to have a little attitude about this, Dan. I'm not going to listen to you. You plug in your reason. But if I come to you and I open up God's Word and I just say, I want you to read this with me. Then it's God speaking to the person, not me. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to use His Word as we go to each other. And church, you know what? A church that loves each other will go to each other. Not just going, but also receiving. We should welcome when people come talk to us because it gives us a chance for our spirituality to grow, right? And that's done through the Word of God. God's Word is also profitable for correction. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 talks about the fact that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than two-edged sword. God's Word can make changes in the most unchangeable person. I've seen it happen. God's Word can make correction where we can't. You know what? Sometimes I don't understand where to correct my life. I think about my own life and I think, and then I look at it in terms of where I've been, where I want to go, and sometimes I get so tied up with emotions that I miss the point. God doesn't get tied up with emotions. God sets it for straight. And God can make the corrections in our lives if we're in His Word. God's Word is also profitable for training. And you know what? I've got a little bit of a sad story to tell you about a church that doesn't train. Little church in Oklahoma that Charity and I is very familiar with. We love very dearly. I was talking to the preacher one day, one of my very good friends. And I said, hey, I said, you teach ladies Bible class on Tuesday, don't you? Yep. Do you print the bulletin also? Yep. You teach Wednesday night class, Sunday morning class, you preach all the sermons. That's kind of a one-man band, isn't it? He said, and this is what he said to me. We don't have anybody else qualified to do that. Church, let me tell you something. We got to be a people who are training people.
Amen.
You want to know why that I'm not always filling the pulpit and other men are? Because this church is actively engaged in training men. You want to know why we like to do the Wednesday night devotionals that we really need to get back to? Because we believe in training men. You want to know why I'm not the only one teaching class? Because we are actively involved in training men. And where does that training come from? God's Word. God's Word is meant for training. More than simply reading of God's Word is to be taken into consideration. If you want to look there at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. I really like this. It says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Mine says be diligent. Does someone else have another version that says something else? Who's got an NIV? What? Okay, NIV says do your best. Who's got a King James? We have no King Jamers.
It says study.
It sure does.
It says study. The word is diligence and it means to study. To dig in deep. Not just passively read through it and say, oh, okay, I read it. But it says to study, to examine carefully, to research, to compare, to investigate, to apply yourself in God's Word. You know, that's what we do when we're really interested on something. You know what I'm talking about? You really get excited about something. I bought a cordless drill here a while back, and I searched the internet from one end to the other. I went and found pictures of that drill cut in two so I could see the gears. I even considered the color. Not very much, but a little bit. I really got involved in that because it was on my heart. You know what, church? When God is on our heart, we really get involved in His Word. We study to show ourselves approved. We meet God's approval when we apply ourselves concerning His Word. What's the reverse of that statement? We don't meet God's approval when we don't apply ourselves concerning His Word. God wants us to be diligent in regard to His Word, the study of it. And with that, I can't help but think of Psalms chapter 1. I just love Psalms chapter 1. It's good stuff. Psalms chapter 1 and particularly verse 2 says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. If I handed out a piece of paper tonight that said, my delight is in the law of the Lord, in a little square box beside it, and ask you to check yes or no, what would you check? If the number two question that you meditate on it day and night, would you check yes? I can tell you this, I would check, I need more. I need to improve. God wants us to improve. God wants us to study. God wants us to apply ourselves. God doesn't want us to be a half-hearted people. God didn't make people like that. God made people to give all of their heart, as Colossians chapter 3 tells us, to give all of our heart and not just a part of it. That's what God asks from us. Scripture is also meant to equip us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17. So that every man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. Adequate and equipped. Complete. Fitted for service. God tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 that He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He's made it available, but am I applying myself in regard to it? Spirituality asks us to step up to the plate and get busy. God wants us in His Word because He wants us equipped. Can you imagine a man that was going on an African safari, and they fly him back in this desert country, and they let him parachute out of this airplane in amongst the lions and the tigers and the bears, oh my, you know, back there where there's lots of danger. They let him out and his parachute opens and he falls to the ground. But his other pack that has his gun in it and all that, they forget to throw it out. Bad situation. Here's a man in the jungle, and he's not equipped. Church, we are in a spiritual jungle. And God wants us to be people who are equipped. Be kind of like taking a Volkswagen to a mud bog. Anybody, y'all know what Volkswagen is? The Beatles? Or a moped to a monster truck rally. It's not good. God wants us to be equipped. Preparing ourselves to resist the devil, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, in lieu of the argumentation about putting on the armor of God, putting on the armor of God. When you think about preparing and equipping yourself with the armor of God, you know what the very first armor is in Ephesians chapter 6? Gird your loins with the truth. Gird your loins. How do we know what truth is? Obama told the Turkish people the other day that we're not a nation of Christians. We're not a Christian nation. Left me asking the question, well, exactly where do we get truth from if it's not from God's Word? From politicians sitting in Washington? Well, I can come up with truth of my own. How about everybody just yield to that? No. See, this is the only truth that we know. This truth was good enough for the United States for the last 200 years, and all of a sudden it's not good anymore. Oh, it's still good, isn't it? That's what we got to share with our neighbors. And also, you know, when we live that, that sets a huge example, and people see that. I got 5 minutes, so I better speed it up. God's Word is a light to our path. Psalms 119:105 says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You ever walk down a dark path? Man, when I was a kid, we had an outhouse that was down the trail. And I remember one evening stubbing my toe, and I thought it was going to fall off. It was bloody and stumpy and looked bad. Because I couldn't see where I was walking. Without God's Word, church, we don't know where we're walking. We'd be walking in darkness if it wasn't for God's Word. God calls us to be children of light. And I'll close by saying that God's Word will ultimately judge us. John chapter 12 and verse 48. Have you ever heard of this expression, Russian roulette? You know, we take a revolver that's got a round cylinder and it's got bullets all in it. They put one bullet in it. And they spin that side and they put it to their head and pull the trigger, and that's just a game to them. Can you imagine anybody doing that with their soul? Because when you don't apply yourself to godliness, it's playing Russian roulette with your soul. That's what it is. Our souls only function on the Word of God. And we can't wait till the last minute and just hope that we pull the trigger and nothing happens. God wants us involved in His Word, studying it deeply. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We as Christians are made to run on truth. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16 talks about God's Word being the words of life. That's what God wants us to see. Church, I'm just going to say this in closing. The Bereans were more noble because they were in there studying God's Word. Iron sharpening iron, so one man sharpens another. They were working together. They were deeply immersed in God's Word. You know what? This church right here, we try to stay pretty focused on God's Word. And we need not get far from that. Because the time comes when certain people want to hear and want their ears to be tickled, like a lot of folks in the world. We've got to demand, as Christians, that we stay in God's Word. This week, I want to encourage you to brush your life with the Word of God. Because we want to prevent truth decay. Truth decay. We can help you in any way this evening. Would you come as we stand and sing?